There were two of us in the band that were keen to get the face in the camera, and there were two that, really, we were there because we were in the band. Mm. I mean, we could have all been trying to put our face in the camera, but it worked. It was like, just thought of this. I mean, there was Lennon McCartney, and George was more reluctant, and Ringo was at the back on the drums. And you get this, and the Stones, you know, you got Mick really at the front. I mean, Keith wasn't sort of sticking out in the first place. But, you know, that was okay because, for me, I wanted to be in a band, and that's what mattered. I certainly didn't want to be looked at or screamed at or anything as I was walking down the road. I wanted to be able to walk down the road the same as I always had.
Oh, because you were the shy one, Jim, weren't you, as you said that.
Yeah, I'm not shy anymore,
no.
As you probably can hear. But, you know, as with all these things, you know, a lot of comedians, you know, they're very, very quiet and shy, or even reclusive people. And Nod wasn't like that in normal life. He was very, you know, he didn't really say much. He'd sit in the car and, you know, be maybe, you know, other people who'd be having the conversation. He used to always say he was saving his voice, which may have been true, but, you know, he could be very quiet.
And what a voice he had as well. Well, you know, I was interested to say you were a close-knit group, obviously very commercially produced and disciplined in that respect. And
yes,
you didn't socialise out of the spotlight. As fans, you know, OK, I'm in the media, but I'm a fan as well. I'm intrigued to know what's happened since with you guys. Do you just stop being friends? Are you still in touch?
Well, we've had our disagreements since in recent times for all sorts of stupid reasons. But it doesn't really, it's not a big thing because, you know, it's not like you're turning around and expecting the band to form again tomorrow, because it's not going to. I mean, we're a lot older now. I'm 68. The others are all 71. So you've got Nod voice to consider and so on and so forth. So it's something that has its place, and the place is where it is in the past.
Well, Jim, it sounds like you've got loads going on. You've got the album there, the DVD.
Correct.
As well, haven't you?
Yeah. There's more coming out as well. There's more up the road. You know, I haven't been slacking. And the thing is, throughout those years, people think that, you know, oh, Jim's he's become a recluse. I've heard the others in the band saying it, Jim's a recluse. I'm not a recluse at all, as you can probably tell. And I'm doing, funnily enough, on November the 2nd, at the very gig where I did the Robin Hood, and this DVD of the gig is now coming out. Well,
yeah.
Some of the tracks. It's only some of the tracks. And I'm doing a Q&A, a question and answer. So if I'm doing a Q&A, I can't be too shy these days.
What do you suspect some of the questions will be? Have you done anything like this before?
No, never. But I don't know. I mean, what can there be? I mean, they're only the same as you talking to me.
I suppose. So there's a lot of fascination about successful bands. Bands that, as I said at the beginning, write and wrote an important page in people's lives. And let's be honest, Slade, every Christmas, Jim, goodness me. It wouldn't be Christmas without it, would it?
I know that. I know that. But the record was made on the hoof. We needed a song. Chaz rang me up, told me we needed a song now. We recorded in New York in the back end of the summer, 1973. The rest of the band were not keen on doing a Christmas song at all. I was tearing my hair out. You know, it wasn't rehearsed. On the record, I played the piano. Don had this terrible accident, and he lost his short-term memory.
Yes, I remember.
And he was looking at me terrified while we were putting it down. He was just not doing a guide vocal. And I was playing the piano at first and didn't like that. And Don was on the drums, and we were trying different drum beats. And Chaz just said, yeah, why don't you just try the Slade shuffle as you normally do, man? So we did that, and he was absolutely bang on, you know. Don, just didn't know what was going on, so he just played the shuffle just like a, you know, one of those tin drummers, you know. And he didn't know what the song was about. He couldn't remember any of it. Didn't know any of it. And he just played along to what I was doing and what Nod was singing. And we put it down like that. But I chucked everything at it. I put a harmonium on it, which you can hear very clearly at the front. Chaz hated the harmonium. Nod started putting the final vocal down. Dave, you know, had to show him the chords while we were in the studio. Nod started messing around with the timing of the. Oh my God, it was really traumatic. And you wouldn't think, you know. And we went away and we were gigging. And when I fired the final mix, I was really chuffed because I didn't think anything could come out of this mess of everything that I'd chucked at it. But I can hear all the instruments in it now. Over the years, I go, oh, crap, there's a little acoustic guitar and there's that and there's that. And that's what I hear. But obviously, the public just have a knees up.
Yeah. What about Chaz Chandler? What was he like to work with? Did he more or less leave you to it? Or did he rule with a rod of iron?
Chaz was pretty well a rod of iron. I used to argue with him a lot, but I know that he respected me for that. His wife used to tell me, she said, Chaz won't say this to you. He said, but you're his favourite band member because you stick up to him. And, you know, I've always been like that. I've always been confrontational. Although people thought I was quiet, you know, I wasn't quiet at all. And in fact, the rest of the band used to see me when I was confrontational. And they used to, don't say that, don't do that. Oh no, we'll never get another gig here ever again, or whatever it was. And talking to females and telling them they got hair like straw or something, you know. And they were always hiding under the table, you know. But Chaz, I mean, he was one in a million, and that guy, you know. But he was very possessive of me, and he always wanted me to move next door to him in Hampstead, and I was living in Highgate, which was not very far away, but it was very possessive, and it made me feel a bit strange sometimes.
Jim, it's been a great career for you, hasn't it? And it continues as well. Lots to look forward to, you're saying. Can you give us any idea what's coming up soon for you?
Well, there's a lot. There is another album that's already done that's ready to come out, but that is not, in fact, it's really something very different that's never been done by anyone in the world, I don't think. But that is very, very different. But what I'm finding is that now, having come back in the business, you've got to have a certain sound and a certain thing to get on the radio. And that's not really what I wanted to do, but I'm having to do it. And that's the way the business is now. So here I go. And that's what the new single is all about, making it fit with what might be on the radio.